Exodus chapter number 2. And as you're turning there, I'd like to say a few things. First of all, thank you for your hospitality. There we go. Am I on now? Everybody can hear me nice and well. You know, I was sitting up here in the front, and one of your church members said, "Where is our preacher tonight?" And then she said, "Oh, when I saw you in the front, I thought you were one of the teenagers." I guess I'm never allowed to sit there with you guys anymore. So, well, but I do want to say thank you for allowing me to be a part of your services this morning. Our pastor back in our home church texted me that several visitors came in to our church this morning, and two folks got saved today in church, and I appreciate that. And you know, you had visitors come by this morning for the very first time, and I want to thank you for being faithful to inviting your friends, your neighbors, co-workers, and such. You never know what one invitation could do in somebody else's life, and I want to encourage you for that. And I want to thank the Haynes family for being so hospitable to me and whatnot. And again, my wife couldn't be here for the entire day, and so I was texting back and forth, and she says she's praying for me and for the church. And so hopefully next time I come by here, she'll be with me, and you guys don't get bored with me, but you get to meet her. So thank you for allowing me to be a part of your service today. It really is a privilege for me. I don't take this opportunity lightly, and I trust that tonight would be a blessing to you as well. If you have your Bibles turned open to Exodus 2, let's go ahead and stand, and we'll read God's Word. Now, this is a little bit of a lengthier passage than what I'm used to as a means of a springboard and a passage that I want to cover right before we get into our message. So, hope that you would bear with me as we read quite a few verses here. We'll start reading in Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 15, and we'll go across chapter 3 to verse number 10. And tonight, this message really is going to be a sobering message, I believe. It's going to be very personal. And so as you go through the entire message, listening to God's word being preached, you really have to lay aside any distractions, thinking about who needs this message and whatnot. It really has to be an intimate and a personal message. And I trust that God's word would speak to your heart this evening. The Bible says in verse number 15 of chapter 2, "Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flocks." By the way, we need more men to stand up for ladies when they need help, amen? Verse number 18, the Bible says, "And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, 'How is it that you are come so soon today?' And he said, 'An Egyptian,'" notice that, he was still noticed as an Egyptian, "'delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock.' And he said unto his daughters," and where is he? By the way, they just left him there, right? He says, "'Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread.'" And verse 21 says this, "And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave to Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, 'I have been with a stranger in a strange land.' And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." Chapter 3, verse 1. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro," same as Reuel, "his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of a midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burned, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt.' And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of thy father, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows.'" Verse 8, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, And I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now let's read verse number 10 together out loud, all together. Ready? Begin. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, no doubt if you've studied this portion of the scriptures, you understand how pivotal this is in the nation of Israel. And tonight I want to look at it from a different angle, a little bit more of a focused aspect regarding this message. And I want to preach to you what I believe is the greatest lesson Moses ever learned. The greatest lesson Moses ever learned. Let's pray, and we'll dive into the Word of God this evening. Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We do lift up to you the Taylor family, and thank you, Lord, for how Brother Bob is in heaven. And though I may have never met him here on earth, Lord, I'm excited to meet him in heaven someday. And I do pray for comfort and for grace upon his family who's grieving the loss of their father and their grandfather. And I pray that the legacy that he left as a Christian would be continued on to their family. And I pray that they would draw closer to you as a result of his life and his passing. Lord, today I do also want to pray for Pastor Haynes, for Madden, for Austin. I pray that you would bless them and keep them safe. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring him back here safely. I pray for the good people of Shadow Mountain Baptist Church that you would speak to their hearts tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to move in every person's life. I pray that their thoughts would be attentive to the preaching of your word. I pray that they would give heed to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, for any area of our life that you deal us with, I pray that we would do business with you. And I pray that we wouldn't hesitate to obey and to submit ourselves unto your leading in our lives. And Lord, I do pray for myself. I ask that you would please anoint me, anoint my eyes and my lips and my heart. And I pray, Lord, that I would preach nothing more or less than your perfect word. God, I pray that you would lead me by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I ask for your help. Guide my thoughts, guide my words. And I pray that you would be glorified through it all. I pray that this message would be a help and would, Lord, be a life changer in all the people here, Lord. And we thank you for this. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Tonight we find ourselves in a familiar passage, studying a familiar character. Moses is one of the key figures of the Bible. If you study his life, you'll realize that his very name was mentioned in 29 books of the Bible. Moses was with Israel from the time that he left Egypt. He was with Israel when they went through the wilderness. And Moses was also right there at the border of the Promised Land. He lived for 120 years, and 40 years he spent there in Egypt. He spent in the Midian Desert after 40 years. And in 40 years, he spent journeying again with Israel, leading them out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. Now, if we could take Moses and imagine if Moses was alive today and we could sit him down in our service, and he wouldn't look like the teenagers for sure and whatnot. But if he stood right here or if he sat down in our service and we handed him a mic and asked him, Moses, what would be the greatest lesson that you have ever learned in your 120 years of life? What would it be that you would give us counsel and admonition about? What would it be that you would teach us and maybe help us consider? Would it be maybe that Moses would speak about his struggles with anger? You know, if you study the scriptures, Moses had an anger problem, didn't he? And by the way, God used that very problem was the reason why God wouldn't let him into the Promised Land. He often had to struggle with anger. Moses maybe would have tell us that it's important to walk by faith, and certainly it is. Maybe Moses would tell us that we need to be patient with other people, and that's definitely a lesson that we need to learn as well, especially within a church building and a church family. You know, all of us have different personalities, different backgrounds, different strengths and weaknesses, and we need to be patient with each other. We need to make sure that we are working with each other and not against each other. But I believe as God reveals to us a portion of Moses' life here in these two chapters, I believe Moses would teach us a very important lesson that applies to all of us, no matter what age. Now, before I tell you what that lesson is, I want to show you three verses here in Exodus that would give us a hint. Notice with me in Exodus chapter 14, verse 18. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 18. Now, in this portion of Scripture, now they're beginning to leave his family, and they're getting ready to go into the journey of the wilderness. And in Exodus chapter 14, verse 18, Moses is speaking to his father-in-law, Jethro. And notice what he says in verse number 18. He says, and the Egyptians, and Moses was returned to Jethro, his father-in-law. Sorry, that's the wrong verse. Let me look for it here. In chapter 14. Let's go back to chapter 4. I apologize for that. Typo in my notes. Chapter number 4, verse number 18. Here we go. This is right before he's entering to go to Pharaoh in Egypt. So he meets with his father-in-law who he was working for. And the Bible says this in verse number 18 of chapter 4. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, say the next three words with me, ready? Let me go. I pray thee, and turn unto my brethren, and return to brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Now, go to chapter number 5, verse number 1. Chapter number 5, verse number 1, the Bible says this, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, say the next few words with me, ready? Let my people go. Now, if you go to chapter number 19, verses 5 to 6, the Bible says this. Chapter number 19, verses 5 to 6. Now, they're out of Egypt, and Moses is now speaking to the nation of Israel. And in chapter number 19, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says this. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now, I know the words weren't there, but basically what Moses was trying to teach the nation of Israel, as God taught him this, is that Israel was to let Egypt go. Now, did you catch all three of these verses? Moses went to Jethro and his father-in-law, and he said, Jethro, you got to let me go. You got to let me go. It's time for me to go back to my people. And then when Moses went before Pharaoh, who could have easily killed him at that moment, he told Pharaoh this, Pharaoh, you got to let us go. And then when he went with Israel out of Egypt, he spoke to the nation of Israel, and he's trying to teach them that they need to let Egypt go. Everybody here with me still? So I'm trying to build this this important thought here before we get into the message, because if you miss this, the message will a little bit be hard to understand. The greatest lesson Moses ever learned was the lesson that he was taught by God and the lesson that he had to preach and tell other people. And it was to let go and let God. Now, what did he have to let go of? And here it is. Here's really the key thought of our message today. Moses had to learn that he had to let go of his comfort zone. I want to give you one statement as we get into our message this evening. God's will is always outside of your comfort zone. Now, folks, I know you. Some of you may have been here for quite a few times. Maybe some of you here were charter members of this church. Maybe you've been saved for about 10 years or more. Maybe some of you here have only been saved for about a few years or maybe a few months and whatnot. I was speaking to a gentleman this morning, just got saved about a year and a half ago in church, and he's here tonight, and his zeal for the Lord is very enthusiastic, and I appreciate that. But we all have different walks in life in our spiritual journey with the Lord. But here's the truth. We all have a comfort zone. Whether you're young or you're old, you have a comfort zone spiritually. Whether you've been saved for a long time or a short time, you have a comfort zone. Whether you are in ministry or not, you have a comfort zone. Whether you're single or whether you're married, whether you have kids or no kids, you have a comfort zone. And God's trying to teach you through Moses' life that his will is always outside of your comfort zone. Now, Moses was 40 years there with Reuel or Jethro, his father-in-law, and the Bible says he was content to dwell with the man. Moses was in God's will for 40 years, but the very moment that God says it's time to move, his comfort zone had to be let go. Tonight, I want to ask you, where's your comfort zone? What's your comfort zone that God is asking you to leave? I want us to notice three reasons why you should let go of your comfort zone. And this will really be the bulk of our message tonight. Three reasons why you should let go of your comfort zones. Let's take the first thought here. Number one, letting go of your comfort zone. The first reason is this. You should let go of your comfort zone because it will develop your character. Letting go of your comfort zone will develop your character. You see, more than God trying to help Israel, and more than just God trying to deliver his people out of Egypt, God needed to work in and through Moses' life first. By the way, before God could stir up a whole church, he needs to stir up the individual within the church. You see, before God uses a preacher to preach to a message, and before the message gets stirred, and maybe revival takes place and somebody gets saved, before the church service takes place, God has to work in the man of God who's preaching. God has to take time to speak to him and to work in his heart and to soften him and to bring about a conviction that is very needed in that man of God's life. And by the way, it's important for you to keep Pastor Haynes in prayer. It's important for you to keep those who are in staff members here in prayer, even teachers who are teaching your kids. Listen, God needs to work in them before they could be used to work in the children's life, and before in the Sunday school class's life, and before the congregation of the church. You see, God, before he wanted to work in Israel or in Egypt, God needed to work in Moses' life. God wanted to develop Moses into becoming the right man in order to do the right job. Now, Moses, when he was learning this, notice with me a few thoughts regarding how his character was developed. Notice with me, first and foremost, a paralyzing lingering. You see, Moses was paralyzed and wanted to linger before he obeyed God immediately. See, people often stay in their comfort zones because they have a lot of personal issues, if I could use that word, that causes them to doubt God's calling for their life. Now, Moses was quite content where he was he not? He was married. He had two kids. He got in law. He had a good relationship with his father-in-law, and that's a good thing in of itself, you know. But you think about Moses. He was exactly where he wanted to be, away from Egypt, away from the burdens of what he had in the past. And Moses didn't want to leave. He was lingering. And as I think about this, I realize that comfort can be quite distracting. A comfort is a place that often becomes an excuse and becomes a hiding place. Now, why did he stay so long there in Egypt, or in the desert, in the backside of the desert? Why was he so hesitant to obey God? Well, here are a few thoughts regarding this portion of scripture and portion of our message tonight. Maybe it was because of his past regrets. You know, a lot of people are scared to leave their comfort zones because of their past regrets. Go back to chapter number 2, would you please? And notice verse number 11. The Bible says, and it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now, I believe here, as Moses was growing up to become an adult and growing up to become the man that God wanted him to be, I believe that in his heart, he knew he didn't belong in Egypt. He knew that he was different from the Egyptians. He knew that he was different, and he saw the Israelites who were being used as slaves, and he said, I identify more with the slaves than with the Egyptians. And he knew in his heart that God had something special for him. But when he tried to do what God had called him to do previously, he did it within his own flesh. Can I say this? Anytime that you try to accomplish God's work in the flesh, it will always lead to regrets. How many Egyptians did Moses kill the very first time? One. With his bare hands, he killed one man. But when God led him out of Egypt, and when God used the plagues, and when God used the Red Sea, an entire army of the Egyptians was slain. You see, when God does the work, entire armies are destroyed. When you do the work, you can only slay one person. And you think about the times where you serve the Lord, and you think about the times where you're trying to minister to somebody or preach a message, or you're trying to knock on doors or whatever it is, drive a bus route, whatever it is, and you're trying to do it in the flesh. Listen, your fleshly ambitions and your fleshly attempts to serve God will lead nothing more to regrets. You know, I was asked to come by and visit one of our neighbors, our church member who had a neighbor that was in the hospital. And I'll be honest with you, I was And it's a little embarrassing to admit, but I didn't want to go. It's been a long week, and you know, doing soul winning and stuff like that, busy preaching 2-3 times a week and whatnot. And I remember that I got a phone call and said, "Hey, Brother Irwin, can you visit my neighbor? They're in the hospital, and I don't think they have a long time to live." And so I said, "Okay, I'll visit them." So I took my wife, and we visited. And when I was there in the hospital room, the man was, he couldn't talk. He was hooked up to a lot of machines there in the hospital. His wife was there, and I got to actually witness to the wife. But my concern wasn't really for him at that moment because my mind was just so busy. In all honesty, I was in the flesh. You say, preachers get in the flesh? Yeah, preachers get in the flesh. And I thought about that moment, and I was talking to this lady and whatnot, and we had, you know, just about half an hour of conversation. And then when I left that hospital, never once did I got to the opportunity to witness to that man that was in the hospital bed and so forth like that. Well, I wanted to go back, and I said, you know, I should really witness to that guy. And so 2 days later, I came by to the hospital. I said, "Hey, can I, you know, wanted to visit this guy again." I said, "Oh, he's gone." I said, "What do you mean he's gone?" "He's passed away within the span of 2 days." And I thought about that, and you know, it still eats me up today that I went into that hospital room in the flesh. Past regrets. And you could think about Moses, and Moses was told by God, "Moses, you got to go back to Egypt." And Moses says, "No, I can't. I got regrets there." You know, a lot of times, the places where God's telling you to go, you're making excuses not to go back because you're afraid of what memories you'll remember. And God's saying that you got to leave your comfort zone in order to be in my will. You see, a lot of people don't leave their comfort zones because of past regrets. A lot of them also don't leave their comfort zones because of personal restrictions. Now, I don't need to go and read all the details, but in chapter number 3 and in chapter number 4, Moses made a lot of excuses, didn't he? He says, "God, I can't speak well. I'm not eloquent. God, I can't do this. And God, are you going to go with me?" And so forth. And Moses found himself very incapable of doing God's will. And with all honesty, Moses wasn't anybody special. But the reality is this: God's never going to use you unless you're trusting him to do the work that you cannot. You see, we are restricted in many ways. We are restricted in our abilities. We are restricted in our talents and so forth. But we have to realize that it's God working in and through us and not in our own strength. There's past regrets that people use as an excuse. Personal restrictions. Notice to me that people are afraid to leave their comfort zones because of profound responsibilities. Sometimes the task is just too big. "God, I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. God, this task is just too big for me." How about this? Potential reproaches. "God, it's scary out there. I don't know what the future will hold. I don't know what it will require of my family. I don't know what it will require of my health. I don't know what it will require of my finances. God, I can't leave my comfort zone because I'm scared with what's ahead." I think about the life of Moses. You know, one word really scared his life. That every time it was spoken, that when God mentioned it, his entire life turned upside down. Egypt. Moses was scared of Egypt. Can I ask you, what word that whenever the pastor or guest speaker preaches and says in his message scares you to death? You see, for some of us, it's ministry. For some of us, it's missions. And when you have your missions conference, you know that God's been stirring in your heart to be a missionary somewhere else and to leave the comfort zones that you have here in America to be a missionary and reach out to people of other nations and other tongues and other languages. And God's speaking to your heart, but you're scared to leave your comfort zone. Some of you, it's discipleship. Some of you, it's soul winning. When pastor or guest speaker is preaching that you need to be a witness and a soul winner for the Lord Jesus Christ, but every time it's mentioned, you cringe. And every time the pastor is preaching, "I need a volunteer to go with me, to go knock on some doors," you hesitate and you keep your hands down. How about this word? How about the word trials? That's a scary word, isn't it? That when God says, "I'm going to bring a trial into your life and it's going to shake your world. I'm going to do something in your life where you need to hit rock bottom in order to see me." How about this word? Forgiveness. God, I can't forgive. I can't afford to get that relationship right. I can't afford to forgive. God's saying to you, you need to leave your comfort zone. And he's mentioning these words. How about the word confession? You know, oftentimes that's a scary word for a Christian, because in their hearts they know that there's a secret sin that's been plaguing their life, and they come to church and they shake their hands with a smile, and they sing the songs and they thump their Bibles and they say amen once in a while. They'll even thank the preacher for preaching, but in their hearts they know there's a secret sin. And so whenever the word confession is mentioned, they cringe because they don't want to repent. Hey folks, let's just be honest tonight. We all have an Egypt that we're scared to mention. And God says, I need you to get rid of your comfort zone. I need you to leave where you are comfortable in order to be in my will. You see, here we find that he was paralyzed in his lingering. But I love this. I love how God pushed his limits. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25, a similar thought, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You see, God wants to push your limits in order to grow you in your fullest potential. God's in the business of stretching your faith, and God is in the business of molding you into becoming the right man of God and woman of God and child of God, so that you would be most useful and most glorifying for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I'm not convinced that I want to go. I'm not convinced that I should leave my comfort zone. There's a man by the name of Richard Gelfand. Richard Gelfand is quite a wealthy man. He's the CEO for IMAX Industries. Now, you know, with those 3D, movies and stuff like that, the IMAX industry is one of the largest industries regarding entertainment. Well, Richard Gelfand found himself about 4 years ago struggling with a terrible health disease. He accumulated mercury poisoning. See, mercury poisoning. It was said that he consumed so much sushi and sashimi that it led to mercury poisoning in his blood. Now, how many of you guys like sushi? Can I see your hand? Oh, quite a lot of you. Good, very good. I like this crowd here, all right? You see, some people either love sushi or they hate it, and I love it. You know, I love sushi. And this is what he said, and I want you to pay attention to what he said. He said this. He says, I was so frustrated that I was trying to do good for my body, but I ended up killing myself. You know, I meet a lot of parents. I meet a lot of Christians who are so scared of leaving their comfort zone that they think it's safer there. But in reality, they're poisoning themselves. And you say, I can't go to the ministry, Brother Irwin. I can't. There's too much at risk. My parents want me to be a successful person secularly and whatnot. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if it's God's will for you to be outside of that and calling you to the ministry, listen, you are safer in the ministry than where you are in your comfort zone. Some of you say, I can't tithe. I can't participate in offerings. I can't participate in building projects and so forth like that. Brother Irwin, I can't do it. Be careful. You might be poisoning yourself. Can I say this? It's not just you who's being poisoned. Listen, if you have kids and if you have an umbrella of influence in a ministry, and your lack of faith is poisoning you, listen, it's probably poisoning other people too. You could be the very reason why somebody doesn't get saved. You could be the very reason why somebody doesn't surrender to a ministry. You could be the very reason why somebody stumbles in their walk with the Lord. Listen, be careful with the mindset that I'm safer in my comfort zone than I am outside in God's will. No, my friend, you're not. You are never safer in your comfort zone if God's will is outside. We find a pushed limit. And then, I love this, we find a produced leader. You see, God knows exactly where you are, but much more than that, he knows where he wants to take you. God knows where you belong. And God knows what journey he has ahead of for you. God knows how he wants to change your life and mold you in order to be useful and in order to glorify him with your life. You know, when God led Moses out of his comfort zone, God developed him into a better man. And if I could just say this, if you want to be a spiritual teenager, a spiritual man, a spiritual spouse, then you need to allow God to remove you out of your comfort zone and lead you to the path that he wants you to take. Notice in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, how the Bible says now that Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. You see, Moses wouldn't have learned meekness if he didn't leave his comfort zone. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 7, the Bible says, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." Moses wouldn't be called faithful if he didn't leave his comfort zone. And in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1, and in this blessing wherewith Moses, notice the phrase, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Moses would not have been a man of God if he didn't leave his comfort zone. Why should you leave your comfort zone? Because it will develop you. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to stay a baby Christian. I want to be the best Christian that I can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not trying to do it for show. I'm not trying to do it so that I could please my pastor, so that I could be somebody that somebody looks up to. I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because God deserves my best. And I'm telling you, folks, one of the reasons why you need to leave your comfort zone is simply for the fact that it will grow you spiritually. It will develop your character. Second of all, notice me, that you should leave your comfort zone not only because it will develop your character, but because it will deliver captives. Now, I hit a little bit of this, and I don't think I'll stay long in this point, but I want us to go back to chapter number 3 of Exodus chapter 3 and go back to verse number 7. Exodus chapter number 3, verse 7, the Bible says this, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Go back to chapter number 2, verse 23. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 23, "And it came to pass in process of time, that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." You know, Moses had to learn that he should always be willing to leave his comfort zone because of those who are depending on him. Notice with me in this passage, a burdened multitude. A burdened multitude. For hundreds of years and for centuries, Israel became slaves to the Egyptians. And time again, they were asking God, "God, when will you set us free? God, when will you give us liberty? God, when will you take us out of Egypt?" And they're looking and they're praying and they're reading the scriptures and they're asking God, "God, when will you deliver us out of Egypt?" Moses was the answer to their prayer. Can I remind you that there are hundreds and thousands of souls captivated in bondage, in sin, and darkness? You're going to a camp, some of you are a teen camp, and the theme of the camp was not just Star Wars, which is pretty cool, you know, but turning them from darkness to light. Boy, there's a lot of darkness out there, aren't there? A lot of people in darkness. You think about the world that we live in today in America. It's not the same America that we're used to reading in history books. Just the place that we are at in San Leandro in Oakland, literally dozens of homicides on a monthly basis. You think about all the gang activity. You think about the rape, and you think about You think about the suicides among young people, and you think about just the killing and the drug addictions and all of these things. Just close to our church, they're putting up another marijuana dispensation area, and we're trying to fight against that. And there's a bill that's going on that's trying to influence how Bible colleges will work and will be organized and structured and all of that. And you think about the Orlando shooting, and you think about all of these things. There's a lot of darkness. Broken people. Can I remind you this evening that you are the answer to their prayers? That you are the one that they're waiting for? That you are the one that they're asking to come knock on their door? They're the one that's been waiting that you would invite them to church? They're the one that's searching for you. Listen, they tried everything. They've tried alcohol. They've tried drugs. They've tried going to parties and so forth like that. But you're the answer to their prayers so that you would bring them deliverance and that you would show them Jesus Christ. We find a burdened multitude, but notice with me, a broken messenger. Folks, we need to get back to this matter of being broken for lost people. We need to get back to this matter of brokenness. You know, one of the hardest things in ministry is to stay broken. One of the hardest things to do is to keep knocking doors knowing that somebody in there needs Jesus Christ. It could easily become mundane and routine and mechanical. Knock one door, nobody answers. Knock one door, nobody answers. And it becomes hard. You know, it's used to harden your heart, and it's used to sort of just stiffen your neck a little bit. And you say, what's the point of all of this? And you forget that there's somebody down the road waiting for you. Maybe you've been inviting folks to your church and you've done all that you can to tell people that your church is always wanting them to be their visitors, but nobody's answered and nobody's come and you're doing your part and you get discouraged. Folks, can I encourage you, stay broken. Stay before God on your knees, praying and interceding and mediating for the souls of men. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. I was at a mission trip there in the Philippines in 2011. And then we went to the provinces. You know, there's in the Philippines, there's a lot of cities in the Philippines. We went to the provinces where literally houses had no electricity or running water. It was horrible, the stench of their sewage and so forth like that. And, I mean, it was bad. And I remember we came to one hut and literally bamboo and mud, hardened mud and clay that they used to build their home. A little boy was running around without his clothes and stuff like that. And the dad came, and he saw us, and we were passing out flowers in their province. Literally, you have to walk like 5 minutes just to get one house to the other house, you know. And we explained to them we're from a church about 30 minutes from here, and just wanted to invite them to their services. And he says, are you from here? And I told him, you know, I'm actually from Canada and just out here for the summer, inviting folks, helping the church out here. And he said, why'd you come back? Why come back? You know, the mentality of the Filipino people is that they would eventually leave Philippines and have a better life for their family abroad. And they didn't get the concept of coming back. I said, sir, I just came back to tell you about the greatest news you could ever know in your life. You know, I don't know if that man ever got saved. We gave him the gospel, we gave him the card, we gave him the flyer that had the gospel in it, explained to him, but he didn't make a profession of salvation, profession of faith at that moment. But I know this, people need you to go back. People need you to go back again and again and again and again. And some of you are asking, is it worth leaving? Should I leave my comfort zone? You should. Should I surrender to the ministry? Yes. Brother Irwin, is it worth it? You're not going to get paid much, but you get to witness to a lot of people. Brother Irwin, is it worth going to soul winning? Listen, folks, it's worth it because one life matters to God. And if it's only one life that you ever reach in your entire ministry, it was worth it to God. Why should you leave your comfort zone? Because it will develop your character. Why should you leave your comfort zone? Because it will help deliver captives. But third and lastly, and I believe this is the most important of all, leaving and letting go of your comfort zone will deepen closeness. So what do you mean? Moses experienced a greater fellowship and relationship with God Jehovah. You know, more than just growing spiritually, more than just being able to serve other people, the greatest benefit that you can have as a Christian when you leave your comfort zone is drawing closer to Christ. How many of you guys love swimming? Can I see your hand? Okay. Any cliff jumpers here? Divers? Some of you guys have one boy's drive. Yeah, I bet he is. I've jumped off cliffs and off of, there was this lake in Canada, and we would get a boat and across the lake, and in the middle of that lake, there's an island, and a lot of people would jump off the cliffs off of that island. It's about, there's some that you could jump off 30, 40, and we did the 51. It was pretty cool. I didn't always like doing that. It wasn't always, for me, it wasn't a natural instinct to jump off and dive off of a 50-foot cliff, okay? If it was natural for you, God help you, right? You need help. You need to get that checked, okay? But that wasn't my natural instinct. I developed into that. Where it started, however, was when I was in the kiddie pool, about 3 feet. I was about 5 to 6 years old. And my dad would say, "Erwin, jump. Jump." And I said, "I can't do that. I'm not even 3 feet, right?" He says, "I'll catch you." I said, "Are you sure?" "Yeah, I'll catch you." And I was like, okay, Dad, I'll do exactly what you said. And I'll jump. But then my dad would do a crazy thing. He would start walking back, right? And I'd try swimming, and I would be drowning and stuff like that. But my dad was always there. My dad would be right there when he knows when I couldn't take it any longer, when I can't swim any faster, and I'm about to sink. My dad would be right there. And he won't grab me, but he'll show his presence to me that when my arms are waving, I finally touch him, and then all of a sudden, I'm clinging onto him for my life. And what I realized is that my dad was really who I needed to go to. See what I mean? I got closer to my dad because he asked me to jump. Let me give you another illustration. I hate going through cemeteries. It's just, for me personally, it's creepy, and maybe call it superstitions, maybe that's what it is. But growing up in a Filipino culture, we had a lot of ghost stories and stuff like that, and it was horrifying. And I remember my grandma passed away, and my dad said, "It's time to visit grandma," all right? And we weren't saved yet and whatnot, and he said, "It's time to pay respects and whatnot." And I mean, it was broad daylight, but I just didn't like going through the gravesite. And oftentimes when I would go walk through, dead bodies here and dead bodies here and dead bodies here. Funny thing is, I actually got saved in a funeral home, so praise the Lord for that. But, I mean, I just don't like being around dead people, okay? Dead bodies, to be exact. And I remember every time I would walk through that cemetery to visit my grandma's body, to pay respect to her body, I would always hold on to my dad's hand. You know, the greatest benefit that you get leaving your comfort zone is holding tighter to God's hand. It's sensing his presence more. You say, "God, I can't go through this trial." I know. That's why I'm here. You know, the safest sheep is always the one closest to the shepherd. And the safest place that you could ever be is right there close to God. And the greatest benefit that you can ever have is simply knowing that God is closest and most important to you. You know, what I love about this is the fact that Moses started his journey weak. But at the end of his life, we find that he grew into being the man of God that God wanted him to be. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Philippians 3, verse 10, Paul wrote, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, according as his divine power hath given us unto all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to godliness and virtue. I wonder if knowing God better required you to, or requires for you to leave your comfort zone, would you step out? Would you let go of your comforts in order to pursue Christ? Would you trade comfort for closeness? You study the life of Moses, his prayer life was better because he left his comfort zone. His worship was better because he left his comfort zone. In Exodus 15, verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my song, he said, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation of my father's God, and I will exalt him. In Exodus 15, 11, he says, who is like unto thee, O Lord? Among the gods, who is like unto thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. You see, Moses' fear and reverence and respect towards the Lord grew because he left his comfort zone. I like what John the Beloved said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. He said this regarding his relationship to the Lord Jesus. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was in the Father and was manifested unto us. Notice this, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This journey that started for Moses led to a joyful satisfaction. Moses realized that the best thing he ever learned was getting close to God. You know, the best way you can ever learn about God is up close. The problem with Peter is that he followed Jesus afar off. Somebody once said this, we would run to God less if we would walk with him more. Can I encourage you as you go to work tomorrow, walk with Jesus? Leave your comfort zone and walk with God. Can I encourage you, whatever God has planned for your life, to stay close to the Savior and allow the Holy Spirit to be your best friend and guide your every path? In Psalms chapter 16, verses 11, the Bible says, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Moses eventually learned that in every step of the journey, he didn't need the rod. He didn't need Moses or Aaron. Moses needed God. And the closer that he drew to God, the more willing he was to leave his comfort zone. I'm going to read you chapter number 33 of Exodus. Chapter 33 and verses 13 to 14. Moses said this, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. That's God talking. And I will give thee rest. And then Moses replies this. He said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. God, if you're not going to go with me, I don't want to go at all. And that's the prayer that we need to pray, beloved. Church members, that's exactly what we need in our lives, is the mentality that if God's not there and if God's not going to go with me, I don't want to do anything with that. Where's your comfort zone? What's the word that when God mentions it to you in your private devotions or when the pastor and the preacher brings it up, what's the word that scares you? For Moses, it was Egypt. For Jonah, it was Nineveh. For Abraham, as we studied this morning, it was Isaac. What's your Egypt? What's the place that God is telling you to go to? We all have comfort zones, don't we? And God wants to stretch our faith. God wants to grow us. He wants to develop our character. People need us outside of our comfort zone. There are hundreds and thousands of souls waiting for you to answer their prayer. They're waiting for you to share Christ to them And they're waiting for you to help them be delivered from the bondage of sin. And God's waiting for a closer relationship with you, beloved. God's waiting for you to know a closeness like never before. Can I say this? If you are closer, or if there was a time where you were closer to God than you are right now, you need revival. And you are in the comfort zone that God wants you to leave. Tonight I pray that you would leave your comfort zone and allow God's will to be the one that you pursue. And allow God's will to be the place where you dwell. God's will is always outside of your comfort zone. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, tonight we thank you for the opportunity to study the life of Moses. Lord, the message tonight wasn't very long, but I pray that it was long enough to speak to hearts. God, I don't know the families that are represented in this room. I don't know the hearts, and I don't know what they're struggling with, and I don't know their burdens or cares, but you do. And so I pray tonight, Lord, that they would be helped by what they've heard. God, if somebody's here and they're struggling to let go of their comfort zone, I pray that they would be motivated by the three reasons that we've heard tonight why they should. I pray, Lord, that we would be led by your Spirit as we respond to the message. And I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't just be an emotional stir, but I pray that it would be permanent, and that it would take root, and that we would make decisions that would change our lives. God, we need to leave our comfort zones in order to glorify you and in order to do your work. We need to leave our comfort zones in order to help others. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts tonight. The piano is playing. Tonight, would you do business with the Lord, and maybe God spoke to your heart in a specific area? Say, Brother Irwin, would you pray for me? I heard God speak to me tonight, and I'm struggling to let go of my comfort zone. Brother Irwin, would you pray for me? I needed this message. If that's you tonight, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that at all? Good. Good, I see that hand. Good, you may put him down. Anybody else? Good. Good. Tonight, let's do this. With your head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? And the altar is open for anyone who wants to take a moment and pray and ask God to help them as they make their decisions in life.